Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
But this is the odd couple, Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, filling in for our buddy Colin Cowherd. What's up, Rob? How are you?
I'm doing great. It's kind of early, but here we are.
It's bright and early out west.
It sure is. And you know what, Chris? I wish we weren't doing the show because that would mean that Colin Cowherd would be back by now. But he's doing better, and we're looking forward to him returning, right?
Absolutely. For those that have been following, Colin, you know, had some health issues, but thankfully everything is looking up, looking very much up, and he is feeling much better. And thank you, all of you, for your prayers for Colin and his family, and he should be back Monday. So that's great for all of us.
Yes,
that's great for everyone. But for today, it's myself and Rob Parker, and we've obviously got plenty of things to get into. Now, for those that don't know, we are the Odd Couple, and you can catch us right here on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, or Sirius XM Channel 83, Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, every night. Now, Rob, usually I need a 21-hour break before doing stuff with you, but I guess now this is a short break. We'll make the best of it.
No doubt about it. And for people, you know, who might stumble upon our show, we are different. We are the Odd Couple for sure.
Right.
And if you hear us screaming at each other, do not adjust your radio. Do not turn the station. It'll pass and we'll
it's
just keep going.
It's all love. Yes. We're good friends, but we do go at it. So we think you'll enjoy it. But Rob, the big news, of course, in the NFL that just broke this morning is that J.J. Watt and the Houston Texans have mutually agreed for him to be traded. And, you know, also you can call it a cut. You know,
this being released.
We knew he was being released, and this was, you know, something that is not too surprising because it's clearly been in the works. But we will get into that a little bit later. But some more news this morning was that Trevor Lawrence, who is obviously going to be the top pick in this year's NFL draft, he had his pro day today and threw the football. And I saw a few highlights. I'm not sure if you did, but he looked good. I mean, I don't, for a good quarterback, I think it's difficult not to look good, you know, when you're throwing the wide open receivers.
I'm surprised that he even did it. You know, why? I most of the time, guys like that, Chris, don't even participate in these things. You got my resume, you've seen what I did in college. What do I need to throw for? For real.
But I like, and I don't begrudge those that don't because I fully understand it. You know, anything can happen. Maybe you just, for some reason, have a bad day, an off day, and it hurts you. But I like the fact that he did do it. You know, it shows he's a baller. Like he said, I just like to throw the football. You know, so they want me to throw, I'm going to go out there and throw. So I'm fine either way, but I do like that this guy's got the confidence in himself. And, you know, you even might look at it as a little bit of humility that I'm going to go out there and throw, you know, it's no big deal. So, but here's the thing. And we will get Urban Meyer had a controversial hire. He completed his coaching staff yesterday with the hiring of Chris Doyle, the strength and conditioning coach from the University of Iowa, who resigned in June, Rob, or left in June, under clouds of allegations from several players of racism and bullying. So we will get into that in the next hour.
We definitely have a lot to say about that and where this is going. But we're going to do football right here, right?
Right.
And Trevor
Let's
Lawrence.
Keep it to football. And this is what I'm going to throw out at you. And I guess we could do it with two quarterbacks if you want to go there. I'll just do it with one on my end. But Deshaun Watson's available, or at least wants out. You know, the Houston Texans are saying they still want to try to keep him. And maybe Russell Wilson may be available. So if you want to hit him as well, Rob, feel free. But I wanted to ask you this. If you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, say you're Urban Meyer, would you trade the number one pick and the rights essentially to Trevor Lawrence for Deshaun Watson?
I would do it only from this standpoint, Chris, that the NFL's changed. There is no five-year plan. People are trying to win every year. That's the difference between, think about this. When Aaron Rodgers came into the NFL and sat for 3 years, right? That doesn't happen anymore, Chris.
He'd be called a bust now, even if it was
Aaron Rodgers. Think about that. He sat for 3 years. People don't sit anymore. You got, if you're the number one pick or a top pick first round, they're throwing you into the fire immediately. So that's the whole urgency, a sense of urgency of trying to win. So if you could get an established quarterback in Jacksonville, and you know what? Trevor Lawrence could wind up being great 5 years from now, Chris, or he could be a stud from day one. I doubt it, but he could be. But if you're telling me I can get a guy who's won a Super Bowl in Russell Wilson.
Oh, so you're saying you'd do it for either one of them.
Or Deshaun Watson. I'm just saying I would have to look at that because the chances of me succeeding sooner in my tenure if I'm Urban Meyer – And the owner down there, and I'm trying to get this thing turned around, is going to be quicker with an established quarterback, plain and simple. We're not talking about some guy was a backup or had a good day or a good couple of games, and you're banking on him, you know, giving him the job, like when they did with Nick Foles, Chris, when they brought him down and were like, oh, yeah, well, he won the Super Bowl. He was great. He beat Tom Brady. Now we'll give him the starting job. And he did what he always did. Which was stunk at being a starter.
Right.
So I would be open to it. If I can't make a deal, then I'll go with Trevor Lawrence. But if there's something on the table, absolutely.
As much as I like Russell Wilson, as much as I know he's a Hall of Famer, I would hold off on that one. He's 32 years old, number one. I think Russell could go there and make them a pretty good team. Maybe makes them a playoff team. But he wants a Super Bowl. He's already on a playoff team, and it sounds like he's unhappy. He is ready to win immediately. So I don't know. I know they'll have some money for free agency. They've got a lot of draft picks. But they are somewhat in more of a rebuild. And I get it. You're absolutely right. It's not about five-year plans anymore. We see last to first a lot of times in the NFL. So I'm not conceding that they can't be competitive, but they aren't going to be ready to win a Super Bowl even with Russell Wilson. So is he disgruntled in Jacksonville? There's talk that, you know, Sierra, his wife, has always wanted to get out of Seattle to go to New York or L.A., one of the bigger cities. Is she going to be happy in Jacksonville? So I would hold off on Russell for those reasons. And here's the other thing, Rob. With Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer has some leeway, right? He's got a grace period. You have Trevor Lawrence as your quarterback next year, nobody's expecting you to even make the playoffs. If you have a good season, 7 wins, 9 wins, whatever, maybe you make the playoffs, it is icing on the cake and everybody loves you. If you bring in Wilson or Deshaun, certainly Wilson, the clock starts ticking right away. Now, that said, I would trade him for Deshaun Watson. And I know that goes against all conventional wisdom in the NFL now, because when your quarterback makes such a certain amount of money and Deshaun's the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL, then it's harder to put the pieces around him to make your whole team good. I get it. But Deshaun Watson is the truth. He's 25 years old, Rob. He was tremendous last year individually on a horrible team. And once they made the coaching change, he actually made them competitive, and they had a decent run from that point on. And as good of a prospect as Trevor Lawrence is, and he looks great, I like him. I would bet that he's going to be good. But do we know that for sure? We don't know that for certain. And we certainly don't know that even if he is good, that he'll be better than Deshaun Watson. I know what Deshaun Watson is. He is a stud with his legs and with his arm. He's a high character guy, and so is Trevor Lawrence from everything we know. But there are no negatives with Deshaun Watson. And the one negative with Trevor is I just don't know. Well, I just don't know.
Here's the other part. You're talking about Urban Meyer. If he brings in an established quarterback, and let's say we're just talking about Watson, and they do win, Chris, and he's able to get it turned around quicker, his legacy is boosted up. Like, he got the players, and right. Look at what he did immediately. If he does, even with Trevor Lawrence, and say things don't work out and 3 years come and they still haven't made the playoffs, it's going to be, well, he got the first pick, he had this, and Urban Meyer wasn't able to win in the NFL. He's a failure. This one almost guarantees that he won't be a failure. He might not win the Super Bowl, Chris, but you're going to win some games with Deshaun Watson compared to Trevor Lawrence, who's a rookie the first or second year in the NFL. So right. If I'm selfish and I'm Urban Meyer and I'm thinking about, I'm trying to have the best squad from day one I could possibly put together, and I could try to win now and let people see what's going on down in Jacksonville, and we're building something, then maybe we can attract some other people there. So that's the plus
right.
side
that's
on going
thing,
with a veteran quarterback.
You will have money, and you've got some receivers that are out there. Chris Godwin, you got OBJ's like he wants out. I don't know that Urban Meyer
well,
goes
he's still
to him.
Right.
You got Galladay, who's a receiver out there. So you got some free agent receivers you can go out there and get. So I'm with you. And look, it's no guarantee. We've seen – I mean, there's not a college coach better than Nick Saban. And he struggled in the NFL. So
He failed in the NFL.
You don't have a ton of time to get it turned around quickly. So you're right on that part.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Urban Meyer, the big hire of the Jacksonville Jaguars, legendary college football coach, moving up to the NFL, has yet to coach a game, has yet to run an NFL practice, but already he has done something that I'm just going to be honest, and people might think I'm going overboard. I think he's done something that could screw up his NFL career from the get-go, and I'm serious about it. I think it's that big of a deal. He hired, as he's completing his coaching staff, for his strength and conditioning coach, Chris Doyle, from the University of Iowa. Now, Doyle left Iowa after about 20 years in June under allegations of using racist language with players and bullying players. Now, he didn't say the N-word. He didn't call any players, anything like that. But several Iowa Hawkeyes, and I told you last night on the iCouple, Rob, one that I know of that was friends with my daughter that went to play at Iowa.
Right.
His parents told us the same thing, that the black players there felt there was racism in that program. Here's an example of something that Chris Doyle said to one of the black players. He told several of them he'd send them back to the ghetto.
Oh, very nice.
Things right.
That's
right.
Nice. You mean on a college campus, that's the message?
Right. Okay. But here's another thing. He said, maybe you should take up rowing or something, you know? Oh, wait. Black people don't like boats in the water, do they? So these are the type of things that he was saying. He can sit there and rightly deny, I never used the N-word, because when he was accused, Rob, he came out and said, I've done nothing racist. I don't tolerate any racism around me. How's he know what's racist?
Right.
That you can do racist things without saying the N-word.
And it ain't just that, exactly. And Chris, I'm going to say, it appears, according to Urban Meyer, from what I read, you could correct me if I'm wrong, that he claims that he was vetted.
Yep.
And the owner and the general manager signed off on his hire. If that is the case, then it's up to the players. Because, Chris, I say no way, no how should this hire move forward. And the players should not accept this. I don't care Urban Meyer, what he did in college. The tone of this country, where we are now, Chris, I can't even believe that Urban Meyer is going to fall on his sword for Coyle. You know, like, I
well, you
I
know what
get
this is. That's the arrogance of a college coach.
Right.
Where and they run the roost. I can wave your scholarship in front of you. You got to do what I say. It's different in the NFL, Urban.
And here's the other part. This is the good old boy network, Chris, we keep talking about. That's his boy. That's his buddy. Urban Meyer's track record is that he protects people who are his friends, Chris, when they do wrong or do bad. He's done it before. He did it at Ohio State with the guy who was allegedly abusing his wife.
Yep. And Urban's wife had text messages from Zach Smith's wife about the abuse.
But Urban said he didn't know anything about it, Chris. He had no clue. Oh, woe is me. What? Oh, I didn't know this was going on. Your wife knew. How can we even buy into this?
Right.
And I'm with you. You could lose the team, Chris, over this if you want to fight for this. I'm shocked ownership and the GM didn't step in to say, Urban, I just don't think this is the time or place. Nobody's saying that Chris Coyle can never work again. We're not saying
Doyle,
that.
Yep, Chris
Doyle, I'm sorry. Doyle, that he can't work again or that he doesn't have another opportunity down the road. I'm all for second chances. This ain't the chance right here.
Well, first of all, and I'm with you, but for second chances, you need to admit you did wrong. You need to come out. He has never acknowledged wrongdoing. So come out and admit. You can even say, look, I thought we just joking around. You know, and you know this, Rob. In locker rooms, everybody's bantering. There's some racial talk in fun. White players making fun of black, white. It kind of goes on. So he could try to play that off. I don't think that's how he meant it because he's in a higher position. It's not peer-to-peer. This is coach-to-player. But he can say, look, I didn't know that it was offensive to the guys. I was wrong. I've learned my lesson. And send him through some type of cultural sensitivity training or whatever you have to do. Go through something that shows your contrition. Then you'll get a second chance. But in this case, no. Like you say, no way, no how. And here's what should happen to me, Rob. I get it that Urban Meyer has said the GM and the owner, Shad Khan, signed off on it. Shad Khan needs to do this. Okay, maybe he did sign off on it. I'm guessing he didn't vet it as much as the GM and Urban Meyer did. He probably put it in their hands. But he needs to take control of this situation and say, look, we are not – go to Urban and say, this is not happening. You are not bringing him onto your staff. And if you insist on it, then there's the door. I'm dead serious. Urban Meyer, first of all, we don't know if he's going to be great in the NFL. Nick Saban wasn't great or even good in the NFL. Steve Spurrier wasn't good in the NFL. We've seen many college coaches fail at this level. And second, there's plenty of other coaches out there you can go and hire without it being Urban Meyer. Put that ultimatum to him if I'm Shad Khan. That's what it should be. And if he won't take control of it, Rob, then to your point, it's up to the players.
Absolutely.
The players need to go and say, no, we're sitting out, dude. We are
not. We're not going to participate. We're not going to do this. Chris, the what's happened in this country and the movement and the sensitivity and what's going on, and you're right. For Chris Doyle not to even acknowledge, Chris, if you don't mean to offend somebody and somebody says, hey, Chris, you offended me, what do you say? You apologize.
Oh, my bad. I didn't know.
Okay. Right. That's the first thing you do. If you didn't intentionally, you don't need to understand. These
right.
kids are coming out, Chris, and speaking on the record saying that what went on. And this was an independent investigation from the university. For college kids to say, I didn't feel comfortable, he said
put
stuff.
Put their name on it.
Yes. Yep. That's the most telling thing there is, because you're right. In college, these coaches hold on. They got your scholarship in your back pocket. This ain't the pros. And NFL players, I just don't even, how could you look at that guy the same way, knowing what he's been through, you know, knowing where he's come from? And look, he got basically a bonus for leaving. He
right.
got like $1.1 million. Well, where
right.
was the punishment? There was no punishment.
you and I have said this before. We would love to see NFL players take more of a stand for health care, you know, better health care and all of that stuff. But at some point, and I get it, they did a good job with the video and some of the stuff they did at the beginning of the last season. At some point, will you take a stand? If you're not going to take a stand now, when will you take a stand?
How could you just fall in line?
We've seen college players who aren't, most of whom aren't going to the NFL, who are on scholarship at the University of Missouri, and in this case, at the University of Iowa, take a stand. Why in the world cannot you, in many cases, a millionaire or multimillionaire, take a freaking stand?
And Chris, you just said it.
Now, Chad Khan, he should do it first, but if he won't, then the players need to take it into their hands.
The players at Missouri got it done, Chris, with their scholarships on the line. You remember? We're not practicing. We're not playing games. And guess what? The chancellor and the school president were both out in about a week's time. Yes, they have power.
And that's the thing, Meyer, it wouldn't take them long.
No,
they might miss 1-2 days at most. You know, it would be taken care of pronto. And here's the thing, Rob, and this is why I started off by saying this could sabotage Urban Meyer's NFL career, and I mean it. If he tries to push this through and strong arm it and the players make noise about it, or even if they don't make noise, but inside,
right,
they are like looking at him sideways, how's he going to coach them? Or if they do stand up, if Shad Khan won't, and if the players do stand up, how's he going to coach them when they know they made you make a change on your coaching staff?
Chris, this is one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen. Normally, when you come in, there's a honeymoon, right?
Yep.
All this, everybody's all excited. Oh, my God, we got Urban Meyer, a great college coach. He's going to turn our fortunes around. All that. And then to go hire a controversial figure in the situation and with the temperature in the country. Do you know what I mean? This isn't like some other situation.
70% black
league. Yes.
Come on, dude.
Why
really?
Would you do it? And then you're going to fall on the sword for the guy. Why, Chris? Because they're friendly. Because he wants to take care of his friend. And he's snubbing his nose at the 70% black players saying, I don't care. I don't care what you think. This is my friend. I know him. I don't care what those kids at Iowa said. He's going to be the strength and conditioning coach.
And you know
I wouldn't
what?
Even go in that room, Chris, if I were a player.
You can get that done in college. You know, the governor loves you. The alumni, the boosters are all on your
side.
The
local police.
Right. You got it. You run the roost in college. Not so in the NFL. And speaking of college, Rob, who's been a very conscientious college athlete when it comes to racial and social justice?
Trevor Lawrence.
Exactly. And I'm going to tell you, if Trevor Lawrence came out and said something, I don't expect him to. If he came out and said something, I would applaud it. But I'm going to say this. It shouldn't be he can join the players, but this should be the black players stepping up too.
No doubt about it, Chris.
He can be a part of him and join him and lend his support and all that. How about the black players stand up? And again, you and I differ. You think it should be them from the get-go. I think it should be Shad Khan, the owner, from the get-go. But if he won't do it, then the players need to take it into their own hands.
And I hear you with the owner, Chris, but the only reason I say is because he's been hired already. It ain't even like a thought process. They've hired this man, so obviously the owner had to sign off and the GM. That's what bothers me, and that's why I say the players have to step up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
There have been reports that Odell Beckham Jr. wants to play with Tom Brady, and Tom Brady wants to play with OBJ. We remember in the past when OBJ had the GOAT cleats that he presented to Tom Brady. And
can you say tacky? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm going to say this, though, Rob. If I'm Odell Beckham Jr., and I get, you know, he loves Tom Brady and all that, but they got enough receivers. If I'm Odell Beckham Jr., I'm looking at Green Bay instead of Tampa Bay. He needs to get on the horn with Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers needs to try to flex the muscle he has in Green Bay and say, get us OBJ. Because one thing Bucky was right about, time's running out for Aaron Rodgers. We don't know how much longer. Look, he looks great, but still, it's been, what, 11 years since he's been to the Super Bowl. Go get OBJ, and they may be the favorites in the NFC next year.
I'm not going to be like against if they can add another receiver of that caliber. So I'm not that, but I don't know if that's like going to be the difference in them making it or not. Their offense would be unbelievable. They had an unbelievable offense last year without him. So you're right. Or will it be like Cleveland all over again, Chris, where now Devontae's mojo when Aaron's not at the same, you know what I mean? So there's something that the offense really worked last year for Green Bay. They had the highest scoring offense. What, the only team to score over 500 points? I mean, and I get it. Whenever you can add talent, it's like the Brooklyn Nets, right? You get a chance to add a talented player, you just do it, right? And say, right, we'll figure it all out. So I'm not totally against what you're saying. The Tom Brady thing, I don't know if that's just a pipe dream or if I'm Tampa, you know, am I really interested in that? There's so many other moving parts. You got to be real careful because chemistry is important.
Right.
I think people forget that and think you could just put things together. And we saw that. And I know it's different between Tampa winning a championship, Chris, and what happened with the Browns. But you remember the difference, right, with the chemistry once they all came together. They were thinking they were going to the Super Bowl. Remember that when they got OBJ?
Absolutely. And I think the difference, and I hear you, because remember when OBJ got hurt, I talked about this right away. I think Baker will play better. Not that OBJ, you know, isn't a great receiver, but a young quarterback like Baker, who really hadn't established himself, you got this celebrity superstar wide receiver with a huge personality. I think Baker felt like, I got to get the ball to Odell. And that was taken away from the offense. And rather than making the right play, he was looking for OBJ a lot. I don't think OBJ, he's not bigger than either Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. So I think if he went to Green Bay, sure, with his personality, maybe it could be a problem. But I think he fits in humbly as the second receiver. Obviously, Devontae Adams stays number one, and OBJ is your number two. Certainly, that would be the case in Tampa, but I'm with you there. They don't need him. If I'm Tampa, I'm trying to bring back Chris Godwin. Now, he's a free agent. Maybe he's in for a big payday elsewhere.
And maybe they don't want to pay, right? They're part of that, yep.
I'm definitely keeping Antonio Brown because I think, Rob, other teams are going to look at Antonio and feel like he may not be on his best behavior here. In fact, he likely won't be on his best behavior like he is with Tom Brady. And especially if you pay him pretty good money, you know, so he could go back to doing some of the things he did in the past. So I'm not going after him if I'm another team. And if I'm Tampa, I'd like to bring back, you know, I got Mike Evans. I'd like to bring back AB and Godwin and keep those three together. I still have Scotty Miller. Keep them rather than bringing in OBJ.
And the other part, too, is OBJ wasn't a part of what happened when things turned around for the Browns this year, Chris, but maybe he can fit in there and he doesn't have to go anywhere. Like, they're up and coming, right? They beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs. I know it was just one of those once-in-a-lifetime games where everything just kind of went their way and they rolled over them. But maybe they can build on that and incorporate him, and he can be a part of that, what's going on in Cleveland, and not be ready to just jump around or hop on another team. And who knows? You know, maybe everything just worked out for Tampa this year, and maybe they won't be. Things won't work out, you know, perfectly for them this year, so they might not be that team. You know, yes, he should go to a Bay. But maybe you're right. It's green instead of Tampa, you know? It could be.
I think that's what he should be looking at. Look, and you're right, though. It could. I mean, everybody's assuming he's out of Cleveland. I believe they were 5-2 with him. So it wasn't like they weren't
winning. Right, they weren't
winning.
Stinky. Right.
Right. I do think Baker played better without him. I think that's clear. But, again, maybe OBJ's been a bit humble. Rob, we're talking about him for things he did 4 years ago.
Well, because of that catch on Sunday Night Football, which everybody in NFL America saw. But you're right, Chris. The numbers just haven't been there. And a lot of it has been injuries and whatnot, not being able to stay healthy. But he's years away from that stud receiver he was.
Absolutely. So he should be looking to go back to Cleveland and fit in. But if he wants out, Green Bay rather than Tampa Bay or Tampa Bay or Champa Bay. I know any of those eat you up.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
He is one of our regular guests on The Odd Couple. We thought we were done. We talked to him a few days ago on The Odd Couple. Thought we were done for the offseason, but we get a bonus appearance from the NFL Hall of Famer, great defensive back Rod Woodson. What's
Rod?
Up, man?
What's up, my brothers from another mother? You know what?
Little boat.
I stopped crying, man, when I got the text last night.
But Rod is probably shocked. He's like, what? They're filling in for Colin Cowherd? Oh, my God.
A little different vibe.
Just remember, I knew you before.
Uh-oh.
A little different vibe. But let's get into it. And Rob and I just got done talking about Urban Meyer. And we just think that this hire of Chris Doyle as his strength and conditioning coach is a terrible move. We think Shad Khan, the owner, should step in and nix it. But if he won't, then we think the players need to make a stand and say, look, we're not playing for this guy. And obviously, I think that would change it quickly. What are your thoughts on this?
I mean, you know, I am a fan of giving everybody a second chance. I don't know him. I just know all the, you know, allegations against him and what he has said and the racist remarks that he's used in the past for players that he was that was training under him. And then, you know, making that hire, I put myself in a black man's shoes, right? A person of color would never get that hire.
No.
After what he was accused of, he would never get hired again. And, you know, but like I said at the beginning, you know, I am a person that believes people should get a second chance if they're remorseful, if they've learned, if
he hasn't acknowledged any of that.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. And if he hasn't, and he's just saying, hey, everything I said and everything I did was good, then there is an issue there, because I'm going to tell you something. He goes in that locker room, he goes in that weight room, and then he calls somebody a name, it's going to be somebody don't get dropped.
Yep.
Rod, grown men. These are
I saw a former player say on TV earlier this morning that he's seen players get in fights with strength and conditioning coaches.
Oh, I believe it. No doubt.
And so
I've seen players get in fight with coaches.
It's full out fights.
It's not normal, but I've seen it when coaches go sideways and start calling players MFers and all that stuff. Players only going to take so much. Obviously players want to. They're all competitors. Anybody in the National Football League is a competitor for the most part. They want to train. They want to do well. They want to be good at what they do. But when you belittle them and demean them, they might take one. But the two or three, it might come back at you. And you know that's the one thing that, you know, I would hope that Urban did. I'm hoping he did it. His due diligence. You know, and if he hasn't, then, you know, maybe the owner does step in and the players need to voice their opinion.
So, Rod, help me with this. You know, just the timing, controversial guy, where we are in the country with what we've been through, you know, Black Lives Matter, all that other stuff that's gone on. And for Urban to fall on the sword for this guy because he's friends with him, right? It's his buddy, the old boy network, taking care of one of yours. But how does Urban, how can he get out of this? Say if he has the pressure and he's forced to say that I'm going to have to not hire him and change my mind. How do you, you know, respond to the players, or they know that they forced your hand or you were pressured to back down? Can a coach still save face? Because a lot of times coaches don't want to backpedal because they don't want to, you know, be shown that they were wrong or made a mistake.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to backpedal. He already said that he doesn't regret the hire. So that's telling you right there. And if he said it, unless the owner comes in, I don't think the player pressure will make him do anything. only if the owner steps in and says, hey, we're not going to go down this path. I do believe in second chances, but this time let's pass. Unless he comes in, I think he's going to be working for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Rod, this seems like to me a guy who's used to being a college coach, obviously, where you just control everything and where the top employees in the state are all on your side, right, and backing you. Can you talk about the difference between the college coaching at the college level, big-time college level, where we've seen guys fail at the pro level, and then going to the NFL level? Because it seems like he thinks he's going to be able to just run everything and do it his way as he did in college, but you're dealing with grown men at the NFL level who may not want to put up for that stuff.
Yeah, most of the really great college coaches were more dictators because you're dealing with, you know, 17, 18, 19-year-old, 20-year-old young men who are still learning how to live life on their own, not with their parents or guardians. So it's a little different mindset comparable coming to the National Football League when you got guys who are 34, 33, 32, got three or four kids, have just as much money in the bank as you do. You know, it's hard to wrap your head around how he's going to want to get everything done. But, you know, at the end of it, it's going to come down to the owner and the owner giving him either that highway to do everything his way or saying, hey, we're going to abide by our rules. You're the head coach. But we do have a structure and we have a culture we're building here that we want to make sure we adhere to that culture. Now, if he doesn't have a culture and if he doesn't have a game plan or a plan for his what his organization is going to look like, then Urban Meyer is going to run roughshod. He gets to do whatever he wants to on the coaching staff and all his hires. And, you know, the culture is the culture, but it has to start with the owner. And if it doesn't start with the owner, it doesn't work.
Rod, Trevor Lawrence threw today, pro day. Did you get to see him throw? And what kind of pro do you expect him? Everybody expects him to be the number one overall pick, but do you expect a big thing?
I mean, he's talented. He has all the tools in the toolkit to be an outstanding quarterback. But there's a lot of things that go with that. And talent is not everything in the National Football League. Everybody's talented. That's why everybody, the guys who get drafted and guys who make it, they have some type of, you know, talent that they can always fall to. But, you know, hopefully he goes to the right system, a good system. He gets good coaching, and he has good players around him. I mean, a quarterback, he can be the best quarterback ever with talent. And if he doesn't go to the right system, if he doesn't have the right players around him, if he doesn't have the right structure around him, if he doesn't have the right culture around him, he's not going to flourish. And you got to hope that all that does come to fruition. But just talent-wise, I mean, he's a player. He's a player. I was a little concerned in their playoff game when he was getting blitzed and he was throwing the ball early. Like he was seeing color. Even though the color wasn't the defensive lineman wasn't there, he still had room. Right. He was just releasing the ball early. He got rattled a little bit. That was a little concerning, but the body of work that he has put together in his career is awesome. I think he has all the talent in the world, but like I said, he has to go to the right system. You got to hope he's in the right culture, and you got to hope he has some playmakers around him so he can distribute the football to those guys.
Let me just follow up real quick.
All right.
Do you think that's why he threw, Rod? Because most guys who are going to be the overall number one pick, they don't throw, they don't do this. Is it because of the poor playoff game and just some of the concerns that you were talking about? You think that's why he threw today?
Well, you know, the new trend nowadays is not to compete.
Right.
And hopefully he's an old school mindset. And to me, him throwing is telling me, hey, I'm going to show these dudes who might have some doubters out there and some, you know, some pros and cons, whatever my cons are. I'm going to show them that I can do it and I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to work. And I think that's a good thing. So I don't know if, you know, what his mindset was. I'm not, you know, I haven't talked to him, but it showed me that he's a competitor and he's willing to throw and he's willing to compete. And I think, you know, whoever gets him is getting a great talent. I just hope they put everything around him so he can be at his best every single day.
Hall of Famer Rod Woodson joining the Herd with the iCouple, Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. What do you think about what's going on in Seattle with Russell Wilson, and how should they handle this?
I just don't understand. I mean, obviously, it is a new age, right? But all these players who are, you know, have to get off their chest and whatever goes through their mind, and if he feels that he wants to be gone, right, then he should just state that. And players are doing that more and more and more and more. We see it in, you know, other major sports more than football, but we're starting to see it in football too. So it's starting to trickle down. So, you know, I mean, if I'm Seattle, if I'm Pete Carroll, I mean, Russell Wilson ain't going nowhere. I mean, that's my guy. I mean, we won a Super Bowl with him. We went to another Super Bowl. I mean, he's the reason that we're winning. I'm not going to let this guy out of the building. So I understand guys, you know, maybe are disappointed and unhappy with some of the things that go on in their buildings around the National Football League, which does happen. But it doesn't always have to come to light. Hopefully these guys can sometimes work behind, you know, in the darkness, in a sense, where it doesn't come to the forefront to the media to get things accomplished so you can keep winning.
And Rod, here's the other thing, too. I can't believe it's ever a good time as a quarterback to point the fingers at your offensive line. You know what I mean? To call them out and say, this is terrible, or we got to do this, we got to do that. You know, quarterbacks run themselves into sacks as well, hold on to the ball too long. There's a lot of other stuff that goes on with it. If you're an offensive lineman, you can't feel that good about what Russell's done.
No, I mean, we've seen Russell, you know, pirouette two or three times and go back 25 yards and throw the ball away, and it's incomplete. And sometimes it is pressure, but, you know, just because the pressure is occurring, and one thing I believe, leaders, real leaders, never point fingers at anybody. They always take the blame. And when Russell did that, to me, it just tells me I just didn't think it would come from him. And I'm a little disappointed because normally I consider him one of the better leaders in the National Football League, but normally the great leaders on the football teams in any sport, for that matter, they normally don't point fingers at everybody else. They always critique their work, their body of work, what they did this year, what they did in this game, what they can do better. Never point the finger at everybody else. And plus, they got a block for you. I mean, if they got to protect my blind side,
yep,
then, you know, I'm going to try to give them as much love as I can.
Rod, what do you think that Cleveland should trade Odell Beckham Jr.? And if so, where do you think that he should want to go? Where would be the best fit for him?
I mean, if Cleveland was going to trade Odell Beckham Jr., I'm telling you right now, I will be screaming to the Pittsburgh Steelers to get it.
They need a receiver bad.
They need a legit. I mean, they got Claypool. They got Juju, big receivers. And I don't know if Juju's going to come back. I mean, they have some things there, but they need a playmaker. Since AB, they really haven't had that playmaker, that guy can create separation on his own. And, you know, they need a running back. But if they can get anybody will take that talent, OBJ, and they can use it because that dude's a playmaker. He's a difference maker. Is he still volatile in the locker room? You know, those things have to be weighed. But pure talent, man, that dude's a player.
All right, that's the great Rod Woodson, the Hall of
Famer.
We got a bonus interview, Rod. We appreciate it, my man.
Man, I'm going to start crying again. I'll catch y'all next year.
All right, brother.
Appreciate you. Have a great day, Rod. Thank you.